This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Given the shape the U.S. is in, how much can we help Europe?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The European Central Bank today cut its key interest rate by 0.25% to encourage lending and to give a boost to the economy there. Now, that's as EU leaders today gather in Brussels for a big summit to tackle the European debt crisis. Their plan is to boost the bailout fund for the eurozone, with help from others, of course, like the International Monetary Fund's reported $600 billion loan. The IMF was set up after World War II to help stabilize the global financial system, and the U.S. underwrites a big chunk of funding there. But Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports now some in Congress don't like the idea of putting American taxpayer money at risk.
The U.S. is historically the biggest contributor to the IMF, with a share of about $65 billion. In 2009, reacting to international financial turmoil, the U.S. contributed $107 billion more. Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers is sponsoring legislation to withdraw that extra credit line so taxpayers aren't on the hook.
We're also broke. So we're borrowing money from China, in essence, to help bail out the European Union countries.
If the IMF lends to European countries, could they default? Ted Truman at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says no contributor to the IMF has ever lost money.
The International Monetary Fund is a preferred creditor in the whole international financial system, so that means it always gets paid first. So the level of risk is essentially zero.
Truman says a pullback of U.S. support for the IMF would cause a collapse of the international financial system. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are slightly higher at the moment now. Pacific Sunwear, which caters to the under-30 crowd for its surf and skate wear, is closing as many as 200 underperforming stores. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up 46 points to close at 12,196. The number of people filing for the first-time unemployment benefits was down last week. The Labor Department says that number dropped by 23,000 to the lowest level since February, which is a pretty big improvement in a job market that appeared to be stuck in neutral. So is the country doing better economically these days, or are the good days all in the past? Today, we launch a weekly conversation called the Marketplace Attitude Check, a new partnership we're doing with the polling firm Gallup. And Frank Newport is Gallup's editor-in-chief. He's with us now. Hey, Frank.
Good morning.
Do Americans still believe in the American dream? Is income mobility as possible as before?
You know, that's a fascinating question, and I think the data show us it depends on the time frame. If you ask Americans right now, how are things in America, and do you have a good opportunity to get ahead, the answers are more negative. Only 8% right now say now is a good time to find a quality job, and that's the lowest in our Gallup poll history of asking that question. However, this is the big however, we do have some questions where we ask Americans, you know, let's think about the future facing your family and how satisfied are you in general with how things are going. And those are fairly positive. So I think if you focus Americans long term, they still do believe in the future. But if you focus them on the short term, they're reacting to the current economic conditions and they're very negative.
You think it's because Americans always feel like things were better years ago? I mean, that there was this idyllic time, like, you know, 50 years ago, where things were just grand?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, that's an interesting question. We do have a way of asking Americans, you know, how are things compared to what it was like for your parents when they were your age? And actually, we haven't seen much of a drop in that. And that's still positive. Americans, the majority of Americans still say, hey, we're better off than our parents were. And they still say that now. And they told us that decades ago when we first asked that question. You know, we have a question here, which is rate the future facing you and your family. And we first asked that in the summer of 1963, when John Kennedy was still president. Fast forward to today, we just re-asked that same question again, and lo and behold, the answer is about 64% say they're satisfied with the future facing their family. That's what they told us when Kennedy was president, and that's what they're telling us today. So after these many years, we're really not seeing much change in terms of at least that measure.
Interesting stuff. Frank Newport, Gallup's editor-in-chief. Frank, thanks.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Wholesale club Costco said today its profit rose slightly, helped in part by higher gasoline sales and currency exchange rates. Now, Costco and a few other stores have done better in this sour economy because of the things they sell and the lower prices they charge. It sounds simple, right? Other stores are taking note. As Sally Herships explains.
If you really want to understand the U.S. retail industry, there are three stores whose aisles you should browse.
Walmart, obviously.
Along with Amazon and Costco. This, according to Jeff Weidauer at Vestcom International. It's a marketing company for the retail industry. Weidauer says Costco's 596 stores are a great indicator of where lots of different products are likely to see growth.
They're buying milk, they're buying eggs, they're buying diamond rings.
Barry Berman teaches business at Hofstra University. Berman says smart retailers try to emulate Costco.
It's a firm, you know, you want to look at and see what they're doing and see what they're doing right.
One strategy from the superstore, opportunistic buying, looking for goods at the lowest possible price.
They only want a 17% profit margin because they want you coming back.
But other stores want your business too, which is why they may be looking carefully at Costco today. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to all those bosses out there who are bending over backwards to put a holiday party together, the latest poll commissioned by the job listing firm Glassdoor says don't bother. By wide margins, a majority of workers surveyed said they'd rather have a cash bonus or a pay raise rather than a Christmas party. Other things employees chose instead include gift cards, company stock, a gym membership, a better health care plan, the ability to work from home. See, I like the Christmas party idea and watching my coworkers karaoke to Lady Gaga. That's always fun. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Billionaire Eli Broad made his money in real estate. He's a bigwig in the art world, and he has big thoughts and big money to spend about remaking American schools.
I'm not sure that some of the things you learn in the world of business or in government or other nonprofits can't be applied to education.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What kind of return do you get on education philanthropy? The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.